The prophet sits in disbelief. He is amazed that such an act could be committed as he had seen committed by his own people. And in disbelief, he asked this question, will a man rob God? I join him in his astonishment. I'll be honest with you. I cannot, in the most lenient moment of my life, comprehend any man robbing God. I can't understand that. It's hard enough to understand a man robbing another man. But it's beyond my comprehension to think that a man would rob God. It's hard to understand for me how a man would rob a bank. 10,000 times more difficult is it for me to understand why a man would rob God. I guess it's hard for me to understand why anybody would commit armed robbery. Take a gun and use that gun as the fourth force with which to rob another human being and take from him that which is rightly his and that which is wrongly yours. That's hard for me to understand. But I can understand why a man would take a gun and stick it in somebody else's ribs and rob him 10,000 times more than I can understand why anybody would rob God from what's his. Young people, listen to me, young ladies. Listen to me while I'm preaching. I can't understand why anybody would be guilty of burglary. Not long ago, somebody broke into our house on a Wednesday night, stole a lot of things, burglarized our house, messed up a lot of it. I can't understand that. But I can understand that 10,000 times more than I can understand why tonight you did not put your tithe in the offering plate when it was passed. And I have more respect, and I mean this, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I have more respect tonight for that demented soul that broke into the pastor's house and took our belongings than I have for those of you who gave God less than 10% of your income when the plates were passed today. Now, to me, that's beyond comprehension. It was for Malachi, too. Malachi said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob his God? He was shocked, amazed beyond understanding. Why any man would steal from God who made him? Even the heathen would not rob their gods. The heathen in Malachi's day, and by the way, in our day too, would make gods of wood or clay or stone. And after they made these gods of wood or clay or stone, they would build temples for these gods. Then they would build altars for these gods. Then they would build shrines for these gods. Did you know, Mr. Walker, that these temples were their banks? They didn't have banks in those days. And if anybody wanted to save something that was a treasure, he would take it to God's house. For it was safe always in the temple. And these heathen temples were filled with treasures placed there by people that trusted completely the safety of their treasures placed in the temple. For no one, regardless how heathen, regardless how pagan, would dare enter into a temple of even a god made of wood or clay or stone and take something or rob or steal in what they thought was the house of their god. Men who would plunder palaces would not dare break into a temple. No thief would think of stealing from the temple of Diana or Jupiter or Minerva. For anybody's treasures, they thought, were safe in a house of God. Hence, Malachi could not understand it. Here were the heathen people not willing to steal precious treasures from the temple of a pagan, heathen god. And yet God's people were robbing the true and living God of gods. Malachi said, I can't understand that. And I can't either. And neither can anybody else that's right with God. If you're not paid up with your tithes tonight, you are a dirty crook. You are dishonest. Nobody ought to ever trust you with a dime. You are crooked. You say, preacher, I never like it when you say that. I didn't say it, God said it. I mean it. I've got more respect for those kids who went down to All Saints that other day and robbed their offering than I have you folks that robbed God. I've got more respect for a fella that'll break in the Hoosier State Bank and rob the Hoosier State Bank than I do people eating God's food, enjoying God's sunshine, drinking God's water, breathing God's air, receiving God's blessings, recipients of God's salvation. Who would dare rob the God of gods beyond comprehension? He is our Redeemer. Will a man rob his own Redeemer? He is our Father. Will a man rob his own Father? He is our Savior. Will a man rob his own Savior? He is our benefactor. Will a man rob his own benefactor? Years ago, when I was a younger man, just beginning to preach, my dear Uncle Harvey, who's in heaven, has been for many years, was a very wealthy man. Uncle Harvey wanted to include me in his estate. He loved me very much. He called me one day and said, son, could I talk with you? He was proud of me. I was the only member of any of our families who ever graduated from college. He was proud of me, and he admired me. He knew I was poor, knew I had a tough time. He called me. We sat down in the cafeteria of the Mercantile National Bank in Dallas, Texas, and my Uncle Harvey offered me stock in his business. That would have meant to me, so I'm told, $250,000. But he said, son, the only requirement I'll have is you'll have to go to a certain seminary and get your degree from that certain seminary, and it was one that I couldn't go to. I didn't want the $250,000 anyway. But I said, no, Uncle, I don't want the money. I could have been that day worth $250,000 at the age of 25. I took nothing from him. He helped my churches. I take it back. He did send me $100 a month for several months, and he helped me borrow money for a car. But he was good to me. What would you have thought if, during my uncle's last days, when he had paralysis, had a stroke? What would you have thought about a man? What would you have thought about me if I'd broken into his home some night and robbed him of his riches? What do you say? Do you mean to tell me that Jack Hiles would rob the riches of the uncle who offered him $250,000? Brother, our God has given you such blessings, $250,000 wouldn't pay the down payment on what God has done for you. Now, listen, in the sight of God Almighty or any decent, honest person, for a person to take God's tithes and offerings and steal them and not give them to God. You say, when I can afford a tithe, I'm going to tithe. Listen, you're a crook while you're waiting. Incomprehensible. Beyond understanding. Why anybody would rob God. Malachi couldn't understand it, and I can't either. And no honest person can. He said, I'm an honest person and I don't tithe. There's no such animal. There's no such animal. You're as crooked as the hind leg of a hound dog if you don't tithe. In case you know how crooked that is, take a look at one of them. And by the way, less grateful to God than the hound dog, too. I have a ring, a diamond ring. Don't have it on tonight. Russell Anderson gave it to me. I wear a pair of shoes tonight. Russell Anderson gave it to me. I have in the desk over my office a deed for a hundred, and by the way, he'll hear this tape because he gets all of my tape. I have a deed for an apartment house that's worth $100,000. He gave it to me. I didn't take it. All I had to do was sign my name, and I could have owned an apartment house for the value of $100,000. He gave it to me. It's yours. I had the deed on my desk. He said, sign right here, and it's yours. I didn't sign it. And that's why I get a little mad when some of these liars around town say I'm a millionaire. That sort of stirs my blood. I want to see somebody else's blood run. Russell Anderson placed over $1 million in this ministry of this church in our school. What if tomorrow morning word leaked out, came out in the Chicago Tribune, benefactor, Hiles Anderson College, has been robbed? What if I went up and I said to Brother Vineyard, come with me, and Brother Colston, and Brother Fisk, and Brother Sullivan, and Brother Boardway, I said, come with me. Tonight, we got in the car and drove up to Russell Anderson's house. And I said, now, fellas, you know we need $2.5 million for our new school, or buying up our school. We've got to have it by January the 1st. And God's in it. God's led me to do it. We went up tonight and broke in Russell Anderson's house and took everything he had, got his stocks and got his bonds, stole his money. And word would come out, Dr. Jack Hiles has robbed Russell Anderson. I can't believe it. Will Jack Hiles rob Russell Anderson? Not his shock. That's not as shocking to me as it would be to think that one of God's creatures, saved by His grace, on his way to his heaven, saved from the fires of hell, redeemed, sins forgiven, blotted out, behind the back of God, would dare even think of not giving God at least 10% of his income. Unthinkable. Unthinkable. He is our provider. Will a man rob his provider? He is our older brother. Will a man rob his older brother? Malachi was amazed, shocked, surprised, stunned to think that the people would rob God. He was surprised because of the certainty of the punishment he knew would fall upon the people who robbed God. You see, you can't rob God behind his back. I don't know yet who robbed our house. I'll probably live and die before I'll ever know who robbed our house. For as I know that the person or persons who robbed our house was never apprehended. It was done in the dark. God sees always in the dark. It was done behind our back. Nobody does anything behind God's back. No way in the world to hide it from God. No escape. If you could mount the wings, your wings mount wings and fly to the highest heaven, you could not escape the vision of our God. You could descend to hell. You could not escape the presence nor the sight of our God. You could hide in darkness. You could not escape the searching eyes of Almighty God. It was said years ago, when the Roman Empire was at its peak, that nobody could ever get in disfavor with Caesar. The Roman law would always reach him. It was said that if anybody got in disfavor with Caesar, there's no place where he could flee. There was no country where he could seek refuge. He couldn't go to Canada and avoid the draft like the yellow cowards did. No place. It is said that the Roman law would always reach anybody and bring him back to Caesar if he got in disfavor with Caesar. God knows what you've got in your checking account, and God knows how much your offering was, and God knows how you've robbed him, and God knows your dirty, selfish heart, and God knows your greedy hands, and God sees every time, every time, every time the plates are passed. God sees what you put in. God knows how much you give. You never rob God in secret. You never hide in the darkness and rob God. You never do. Belshazzar takes from God his holy vessels and drinks wine from them. The Bible says, and I quote, that night was Belshazzar slain. Ananias and Sapphira promised to give a certain gift to God. They did not give all of it to God. They break their promise. They break the vow of what they had promised to give to God. And God took them both in death the next Sunday morning. Nebuchadnezzar robbed God of his glory. And God gave him eagle's feathers and nails like bird's claws. And the king became a maniac, eating grass with the oxen. Until Belshazzar, and Nebuchadnezzar came to the place where he realized he had given God what was his. After a year of that humiliation, he was restored to his former glory. Now, how can a man rob God? How can a man rob God? First, he can rob God of his service. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For, listen to me, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Those two girls back there, the dark-complected girl and the girl with the flowery, move over, separate from each other. That's right. You move over, too, in the white dress. Move that way. That's right. Don't you be laughing about misbehaving in church, either. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? On two or for good works. I hate to say this, folks, but God didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. God didn't save you just so you could enjoy the golden streets of heaven and the glories of the celestial city. God saved you that you might be his worker, his servant. And if you're not serving God tonight, you are robbing God. God saved you just to save your soul from hell and take you on to heaven. Why didn't God save you and kill you the next second then? Why have to stay here the rest of your life and suffer and sweat and toil and labor and pain? Why? I don't know why. God has something for you to do. That's why you are here. Young people tonight, if you don't spend your life serving God, you're going to be thieves. Robbers. Robbers. I didn't say you had to be a preacher. I'm saying you have to serve God. Well, you sit in the house, I'm saved now. I wouldn't go to hell for smoking a cigarette. No, you wouldn't, but you're an ingrateful Christian is what you are, and you're not fulfilling God's purpose, and you're a dirty thief. That body you have is not your body. It was bought with a price. It's not yours. You have no right to it. You have no right to decide where you go. You have no right to decide what you're going to do. You have only one right, and that is to give your life to the will of God and serve him as long as you have breath. Good night. A man feeds a cow, he expects some milk. A man feeds a horse, he expects some labor. A man feeds a dog, he expects obedience. A man feeds a bird, he expects some singing. A man feeds a hen, he expects some eggs. A man feeds a hog, he's stupid. Don't feed him. He'll eat enough garbage on his own. Not a person in this room tonight that keep a cow just because you love old bossy. I'm not talking about your wife now. I'm talking about the... Not a man in this room tonight. Not a chicken raiser alive who would feed a bunch of chickens because he loves the color of the chickens. The only person in the universe that feeds people and gets nothing out of it in return is God Almighty, and you're crooked when you don't give Him something. Amen. Folks, all of this room, all over this room tonight, all you ever do for God is put your bottom end on these pews here about three times a week for an hour and a half, 2 hours. About all you ever do for God. I'm alarmed about some of our people. I'm alarmed about many of our lay people that let the college crowd do it. I'm alarmed about many of our people who quit their bus routes and driving their buses. Brother, you've got to face your God one of these days. And if you're not serving Him, I don't mean coming to church. I don't mean just filling up a pew. I mean doing something for God. You are a thief. Malachi couldn't understand it. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? You've heard me say it before. I say it again. These hands are not my hands. They're His. I have not a right to choose what I do with them. These feet are not my feet. They're His. I have not a right to choose what I do with them. This tongue is not my tongue. It's His. I have not a right to decide what I say. These eyes are not mine. They're His. I have no right to decide what I'll see. These ears are not my ears. They're His. I have no right to decide what I hear. This body is not my own. It was bought with the greatest price ever paid. And so was yours. How ungrateful can you be? No wonder Malachi said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Finite creature, completely and wholly dependent upon God. If you don't believe it, you ask the folks down in Haiti how dependent they are on God. Thousands and thousands starving to death because certain parts of Haiti's had no rain in 2 or 3 years. Breathe God's air. Drink God's water. Eat God's food. Go into God's heaven. Saved from hell by the grace of God. Recipients of such love that nobody has ever received before. Recipients of such grace that no one has ever known. Recipients of such a sacrifice that no one has ever known. How dare you give God anything less than your best? You're not your own. 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 You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. How can a man rob God? He can rob Him of His service. How else? He can rob Him of His praise. Of His praise. And I'm afraid a lot of people right along in here are guilty of robbing God. Shall I preach a sermon and go to my study and say, I did a good job? Never, 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 never. First place, I'm afraid I never do a good job. But if I ever did a good job, I have no right to go to my study and say, I did a good job. Can I walk over this church here, this building here, and say, my genius built this building? Oh, no, 10,000 times no. If God had removed my breath from me one moment, I could not have had a part in this building at all. Shall I walk out to the college out there and say, it was my genius, it was my eloquence that built that school 10,000 times? Do I have a right to walk out of the high school and say, I did this? Never, 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 never. Every time I would say to myself, I'm a pretty good person, I steal praise from God and I've robbed Him. He alone deserves the glory. He alone deserves the praise. What I am is Him. What I've done is Him. What I've been is Him. What I can do is Him. Shall the axe that fells the tree praise itself above the hand that used it? Shall Hank Aaron's bat exalt itself? Or Jack Nicklaus' 5-iron? Or Shakespeare's pen? Or Michelangelo's brush? Or Van Cliburn's piano? Or Picasso's chisel? Or Nolan Ryan's baseball? Or Edison's lamp? Or the Wright Brothers' airplane? or Billie Jean King's tennis racket, or Sergeant York's gun, or Longfellow's quill, or R.G. Lee's tonsils, or the carpenter's hammer, or Gutenberg's press, or the fisherman's rod, or the hunter's rifle, or the potter's clay, or Mayo's stethoscope? Never! The bat of Hank Aaron, the racket of Billie Jean King, the five iron of Jack Nicklaus, the stethoscope of Dr. Mayo, the hammer of the carpenter, the quill of Longfellow, the brush of Michelangelo, were all tools, instruments. But the genius is not in the tool. The genius is in the hand that holds the tool. Shall I ever exalt the tool above the master? Whatever has been done because of this little simple 175-pound or 178-pound body, whatever has been done through this choking voice and this coughing throat, whatever has been done through these quivering hands, whatever has been done through these far too weak eyes, whatever has been done between too far this far too dull the mind, whatever has been done with this man or with any other man has been done by God. I cannot rob him of the praise that's rightly his. Will a man rob God? 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 Malachi couldn't believe it. Tonight I want to say to you, I do not want to rob God of the service he has a right to expect from me. I do not want to rob God of the praise he has a right to expect from me. The quicker you learn one thing, the better off you are, brother. There's nothing good about you. Nothing at all. Wonderful program presented tonight by sweet 16, but sweet 16 sinners. Wonderful folk music presented with this strength and beauty sinners tonight. Wonderful bus ministry being headed up by Jim Vineyard, a sinner. Wonderful soul winning being done by C.W. Fisk, a sinner. Never one of us, if we got what we ought to get, would go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How dare any of us think we are beautiful? How dare any of us think we're handsome? How dare any of us think we're eloquent? The thing that's good about anybody in this room tonight is because of the grace and mercy and goodness of God Almighty. Any time I step up and take 1 ounce of the glory of the praise, I'm robbing from Him who causes all things good to happen. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? How can a man rob God of His service, of His praise, of His day? I don't say much about this because I do not want to be guilty of legalism, but I'm an old-fashioned believer in that Sunday is a very special day. And I'm a little alarmed at how some of our people spend Sunday. It's God's day. For you to spend Sunday without going to church twice is robbing God of His day. For you to spend Sunday without spending some time in definite service for God is robbing God of His day. For you to spend Sunday in merriment. For you to spend Sunday in playing. For you to spend Sunday in any other way in this world other than serving our God is robbing God of His day. He gives you 6 days. Let Him have one day. You have 6 days to run around. You have 6 days. And to me, listen, I cannot comprehend to save my life why we take God's day as the day we always go see somebody. It's idolatry. It's idolatry. You're going to take a trip, you take a weekday trip instead of a weekend trip. Very idea. Very idea. Will a man rob God? How can we rob God? Of His day? Of His service? Of His praise? Then there's a fourth way, and that is men rob God of their youth. God wants your prime as well as your leftovers. God wants the appetizer of the meal as well as the dessert. And God wants the sunrise of your life as well as the sunset. And God wants the morning of your life as well as the evening. And God wants the dew of your life as well as the evening rain. And God wants the bud of your life as well as the falling petals. And God wants the entrance of your life as well as the exit. One thing we've done here at this church that is almost extinct in this generation, and that is we have gotten the young people serving God like the old people have used to serve God. You go to most all the nations of this world and visit most of the churches tonight. You'll find most of the people in churches are graybeards. Silver threads among the gold. Thank God for them. I hate to think what we'd be without you. Do you know where it starts? It starts with when you won't let little Junior come to church on Sunday night because Monday's a school day. All boom. What kind of paganism is that? I go to church after church across this country, and the pastor, I preach on Monday night, and I say, Pastor, could I meet your children? And he says, they're not here. And I say, in God's name, where are they? He says, they have to go to school tomorrow. They're home. And I say, listen to me, I'm going to leave this church and go home unless you get your kids here to hear me. I'm here. Well, then I doubled it. You get your kids. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And it keeps on going when you don't make your kids live like you live. God wants your youth. And listen, young people. Listen to me. Some of you young people, graduates of Hammond Baptist High School, or attending Hammond Baptist High School, are the biggest bunch of backslidden idolaters I've ever seen in my life. Do you mean to tell me that a person who grows up from the nursery to the beginner department of First Baptist Church and enrolls in a pre-kindergarten in a school built for the sacrificial gift and the blood, sweat, and guts of some of us? And then you stay in that grade school till you're a teenager. Then you go to high school. And you're taught by a Christian teacher. Prayer in every class. Bible believed as God's word. Decency taught. Dedicated teachers teach you. You mean to tell me that you're not going to be held multiplied times more accountable than somebody without those privileges? And you young people that got your diplomas from Hiles Anderson College or Hammond Baptist High School a few days ago, if you don't amount to something for God, heavy hangs over your wicked head. God is going to, he said in the Bible, woe unto you, woe unto you, Bethsaida, woe unto you, Tyre and Sidon, woe unto you, Chorazin. It'll be more tolerable in the day in the judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will for you. Why? Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the light you had, that's why. Robber, thief, cheat, crooked, dishonest. Why? Taking all that God has provided for you here and squandering it and stomping it under your wicked, selfish feet. Robbing God of your youth. There's a fifth way that men rob God. Shall a man rob God? He robs him not only of his youth, his day, his praise, his service, but so many men rob God of tithes and offerings. And brother, when you face God Almighty, you're going to find that gold makes a mighty hard pillow on which to die. When you lay down to die, you breathe your last breath. If you owe God that money which is rightly His, you're going to be embarrassed to look in the face of Him who gave His all for you. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? You say, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. Don't you say that to me again. Amen. Don't you ever say that to me again. Not till you sold your car and you hitchhike. Not till you sold every stitch out of furniture in your house and sleep on the floor. Don't you say you can't afford the tithe. Not till you sold every garment you have except the garment you have on your body. Now don't you tell me you can't afford the tithe. I can't afford the tithe, you say. But you've got a color television you could hawk. I can't afford the tithe, you say. Sell your clothes. Sell your car. Sell your furniture. Sell your house. But don't be a dirty crook who robs God. And say this. You're not giving God your tithe when you use a tithe to send some student through Hammond Baptist grade school or high school. And you're robbing God when you take your tithe and use your tithes for a college fund. And you're robbing God when you take your tithes and put your tithes in the youth offering designated for the youth ministry, or the bus ministry, or the college ministry, or the others offering on Wednesday night. You are robbing God on every penny that you do not put in the collection plate of an old-fashioned soul-winning church to the support of the entire ministry of that church. Anything less than that, you are guilty of robbing your God. A lot of you folks tonight standest condemned before God. It comes to this matter of robbery as any bank robber in this area has ever stood. Ride a bicycle. You have to. But don't rob God. Live in a tent. I mean it. I'd go to bed tonight in a sleeping bag on the ground before I'd steal my God's money. I'll run to church. I'll get a bicycle and ride to church before I'll steal God's money. Wear hand-me-down clothes if you have to, but don't rob God. Eat leftovers if you have to, but don't rob God. And if you simply have to rob a bank. But don't rob God. And if you simply have to steal, break in somebody's house tonight and be more respectable than a God robber. And find their jewelry box. And get their television. And get their talk radio. And get their jewelry. And get their furs. And you'll be more respectable than you would if you do not give God that which is His. Support of His ministry in this church. You say, you're trying to get money, and you're a liar. I just don't want you to stand before the God who made you one of these days crooked, that's all. If you must rob, go to Hoosier Bank. So Walker won't like this part of the sermon. Get you a blowtorch. Break in the vault. But don't rob God. If you must be a thief, go to school, learn how to be a pickpocket. And brush up behind people and bump them and get their billfold. And be that kind of a crook, because I mean this with all of my heart. They're not near as contemptible to God Almighty and to decent people as God robbers are. And if you must steal, embezzle some money at work, get you a job at Calumet Bank or Hoosier Bank, become a teller and embezzle. But that's better than robbing God. If you must steal, defraud the government, but don't rob God. And if you must be a thief, shoplift. Go to Gold Labs, where our bus kids go. We do all of our stealing at Gold Labs. Go to JCPenney Company. And when the clerk is not looking, and when the detective is walking the other way, reach out with your dirty, greedy, selfish hands
and get something for yourself and hide it under your coat and put it in a bag and go home with it and be a thief.
But don't do worse than that and rob God. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? It seems to me that if the pagan people so respect their pagan heathen temples that they can put their treasures in that temple. I hold in my hand tonight. I won't show it to you because I wouldn't. An offering envelope. On the outside it says $10. It's placed in the offering plate this morning. I wouldn't think of opening that paper, letting you see what's there. I'll just tell you what's there. A nude woman lying on the floor with a naked man, front view, with all of his organs showing, hovering over the woman in this pose. And that was placed in the offering plate this morning. And money that was used, tithe money was used for this envelope. Whoever did this stole however much money this envelope cost. And they robbed God. And they'll face Almighty God one of these days because of it. But let me make myself very, 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 very clear. I have more respect for that person than I have for that Christian, saved by the marvelous grace of our God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, recipients of the greatest love ever known, who didn't put 10% of all they make in the envelope. You are more guilty than the dirty, filthy-minded pagan who put this sorry, hellish thing in one of God's envelopes and dropped it in a collection plate. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God of his service? Will a man rob God of his praise? Will a man rob God of his youth? Will a man rob God of his day? Will a man rob God of his time? Unthinkable. Unthinkable. Unthinkable to Malachi. Unthinkable to me. Unbelievable to think that a man would rob his God. He gives you a dollar. He says to you, 90 cents of that is yours. And a dime is mine. And you won't even accept that as a good bargain. Crook. Embezzler. Let us pray. Will a man rob God? You say, preacher, I didn't like that sermon. Well, God did. God did.